Welcome to Lighthouse Chapel International, Columbus, Ohio. We invite you to discover the life-changing anointed word of God as you listen to this message by Reverend Gilbert Asamoah. Reverend Gilbert Asamoah is a well-seasoned minister who serves as the General Overseer of the Rackham Diocese in Lighthouse Chapel International, USA. Founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills, with over 1,800 branches worldwide. Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Shall we pray? Can I have a little bit of volume, please? Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for granting us one new day, one new opportunity to come before your throne of grace. We come to seek your face, Lord. We come to worship you. We pray, Lord, that we shall worship you, Lord, even in the hearing of the word. Give us a new heart, a heart made of flesh, on which you can write your commandments. You can write your wish for what you want our lives to be about until you come. Thank you for your grace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You are all welcome to the service. We are going to go into the scripture of the week, John chapter 13 and verse 35. John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Hallelujah. So let's go. John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. If ye love one to another. You know, it's King James Version, so it's not coming out the way you would say it. Amen. Okay, let's try it again. John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Hallelujah. John 13, 35. So, everybody or almost everybody has love one to themselves. Amen. Amen. So, having love one to another besides yourself, that sets you apart from the way of the world. The way of the world is to love yourself and look out for your own interests and nobody else. Amen. Yeah, you satisfy yourself first, and then you worry about somebody if they are lucky. But we are believers, and that is what will set us apart from the unbelievers. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord. We are going to continue talking about mega church. And my goal, oh, by the way, I want to acknowledge the entrance of Sister Gifty to the choir. Put your hands together for... Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. Powerful. Next one to join is Brother Johnny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, it's working fully. Amen. So, we've been covering this series, which hopefully is making us fall in love with God and His church once again. Hallelujah. Amen. Because this type of preaching is not what people in the world or many Christians are hearing. Now, there is something about don't put the cart before the horse. Amen. Amen. Now, there are some things that must be first. And it says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things shall be what? Added unto you. It does not say you shouldn't seek other things, but don't seek them first. Seek God first. And last week, we read a scripture from Haggai. There was a warning that Haggai was prophesying in Haggai chapter 1. Who remembers it? Haggai chapter 1. He was giving, describing, he said, consider your ways. Amen. Amen. And he gave a description of what was going on in the people's lives. What was that description? What was the condition of the people? They were seeking to build their own houses and neglecting the building the house of God. Is that not so? And then something bad happened to them. What happened to them? The money they were earning were ending up in holes. Hallelujah. And the Bible says whatever has been written beforehand has been written for our warning. There are some things that are like a precedent, like a law, like a principle, which if it happened to somebody, don't think you and I will be different. Yep. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the whole world is in great confusion and a corruption has happened to the original plan of God. I mean, what you see is not the original plan of God. Amen. Amen. And so last week, I started talking about American exceptionalism. And then I brought it into church and I said, Lighthouse exceptionalism, which is a concept about seeing ourselves as unique, carrying a unique destiny that God has given us. And when you consider yourself as carrying a unique destiny that God has given you, you are not supposed to worry about what others are thinking or doing. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yeah. I mean, some people say, well, these people, who do they think they are? I remember the church, you know, we had a nickname, the mega church. Hallelujah. And at the time, Bishop called it as the mega church. The church was not even, perhaps, perhaps they didn't even have the London branch. The London branch was the first international branch. Hallelujah. But it is a prophetic declaration that what you would like to be is what you say. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, if somebody doesn't like us, if we say Lighthouse exceptionalism, they think we are proud. Yes, we are proud of what God has called us to do. Amen. Eh? You know, we have a saying that we used to say that this is how I'm doing my thing. If you got your own, go and play chaskeleng with it. Do you know chaskeleng? Chaskeleng is a traditional golf game. It's a little dangerous. But it looks like golf. Brother Eugene was an expert in it. Hallelujah. If you don't like the way we are talking about church, if you think we are not trying to draw our attention to ourselves, we are trying to emphasize our identity. And people who have lost their identity have lost their aim. They have lost where they are going. And if you look at the history of the world, God has a plan for installing Adam as the head of the human race. Genesis 1:26, the dominion declaration that God said, I have called you to be fruitful and multiply and dominate the earth. And that first mandate was lost. Hallelujah. Amen. You will see that God is a never say die type of person. So he will try something and if he will try another thing. He will keep trying and trying and trying. Because the first assignment was given to Adam and he did not do it. Hallelujah. God was not about to abandon his vision and his dream. His dream for a world full of the knowledge of God. God's plan is that the whole world, he said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is his plan. So he created Adam and Eve to populate the earth with like-minded people filled with God and his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, the easiest thing for God to do when he saw Adam and Eve, they have disobeyed him, was to just destroy them and create a whole new race. Is that not so? He said, you know what? I'm going to let you continue, but I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to redeem what is there. Amen. Which is also a mindset we should learn that sometimes some things are broken, but they can be repaired. Amen. They can be restored. Amen. It's not every time that your car is not working, you need a new car. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it can run for some. See, the mindset that you have to have it new and start all over again is costing us. Let's use God as an example. He decided to fix Adam and Eve rather than throw them away and repair and create a new one. Hallelujah. Amen. But then when you go down the history, When you go to Genesis chapter 6, let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and see, we are trying to redefine our purpose. Amen. Amen. We are trying to redefine. We are talking about the mega church and building the church. In order to see the relevance and importance of the church, you have to look at what has gone wrong before the church came on the scene. And once you can understand and grasp that if you are God, put yourself in God's shoes, okay? You create a beautiful garden, everything is perfect, and you place two people that you love there, and you come one day, they've spoiled everything. Hallelujah. He didn't go crazy and blow. Bible says about the blast of his nostrils, the whole universe can disappear. But he decided to redeem it. But when you read these verses, it tells you how much has gone wrong and how much God has made effort over effort to repair it. Today, we in Lighthouse, we believe that we are part of a unique group of people that God is trying to use to repair what has gone wrong in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Genesis 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Okay? That the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Okay? The word fair in the King James is the word beautiful. So, fair is not like the way we use it today. They were beautiful. Hallelujah. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Okay? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the beautiful creation that God has put man in charge of, the supervisor of the whole creation, the supervisor of the earth, has now, go back to verse 5, has now turned evil. Amen. Amen. You see, the evil that came, the seed that was sown in Genesis 3, it had matured by the time you got to Genesis 6. It said the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. If you ever made anything that somebody has come to spoil, you could understand where God says and how he sees it. Hallelujah. And that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. If somebody does something occasionally wrong, okay, everybody, even the Bible says that even the righteous man sleeps 7 times a day. Amen. Amen. So if somebody falls short occasionally or, you know, every once in a while, it's not as disheartening that it says that the wickedness was great. Every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil. Where? How often? Continually. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the state of the world at the time of the flood of Noah. Amen. Amen. This is what caused God to come and start a whole new race. In Genesis chapter 8, God starts afresh with Noah after destroying the earth. I mean, the people in the earth. Amen. Amen. So then Noah became the new Adam. Noah became the new person God gave this unique assignment to. That now you are starting afresh. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following?
Yeah.
And so Noah's children, they populated the new earth. They populated the world. And all of us descended from Noah's children. And so as men began to grow and multiply, you would think that people will remember the flood and the judgment that came. You would think that people will now seek God. And people will now say, okay, we are tired of this on and off judgment and redemption. So we are going, no. Corruption entered again. So let's go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 1-5. Hear, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Keep in mind that, you know, Moses was nearing the end of his life and he's giving a legacy the things that he wants them to remember. Hallelujah. He said, God is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. He's a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. You see, Moses had seen a lot in leading the people of Israel. How much people can be wicked, ungrateful, and all manner of evil. It's like this is the state of man in which God is seeking to redeem. This is the state of man in which you and I have been sent to accomplish vision 10,000. Hallelujah. You see, if you don't see where there's a problem, then if somebody describes a solution to you, you wouldn't appreciate why the solution is very important. Amen. Amen. When you go to see a doctor and you are completely well, and the doctor says you have all these very, very big names, and you feel that you're completely well, and you feel that maybe the doctor, you're not too sure, you get a second opinion. But sometimes, after two or three opinions, you realize that there's a real problem. Hallelujah. Until then, you are not going to take the prescription seriously. You are not going to take the solution that is being prescribed to you. You are not going to take it seriously. Amen. Amen. So we are describing the problem of the earth, the problem of human beings. Because we live in a world where everything is right. Everything is right. In today's world, that you cannot talk about sin. Hallelujah. You cannot talk about something somebody has done wrong. Meanwhile, Isaiah, prophesied, he said, woe to those who call good bad and bad good. Who call the righteous unrighteous and unrighteous righteous. Hallelujah. There has to be a distinction. You have to look from God's perspective, not from the perspective of the culture and the era we have been born into. Amen. Amen. So it says in Deuteronomy 32:5, they have done what? Corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Hallelujah. Amen. They have corrupted themselves. This is what mankind has done to himself. We have corrupted ourselves. Their spot is not the spot of God's children. We have become a perverse and crooked generation. This is the state of the world. This is why the church is needed. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Let's add verse 6. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people? Okay, let's go to, let's use New King James for this verse. New King James, Deuteronomy 32:6. Do you thus deal with the Lord? You see, Moses is addressing the people of Israel. He's describing how humanity has corrupted himself. And he's saying, are you also going to be like that? Do you thus deal with the Lord? Are you going to deal with the Lord in this same way? Do you see? Are you going to deal with the Lord in this same way? Oh, foolish and unwise people, is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Hallelujah. So you see, there is always going to be two groups of people in the world. There's going to be the masses, the general group of people who have corrupted themselves, who are, every imagination of their mind is evil continually. Hallelujah. And then there's another group of people who God has pulled out of the general crowd and said, I want you to be a special people whom I'm going to use to purify the larger stream which has been polluted. Amen. So when I speak of large exceptionalism, I'm speaking of the fact that you and I should see ourselves that we are placed in history and time. We are placed in a unique place for God to use us to reverse this bad trend that is happening in the world. Is someone following the message? That is what the church is there for. Unless we can see the problem, then the church will become a little bit a waste of time, or something that if we are talking about it and hammering it, it's like, why? Don't they have something else to do? Amen. Amen. Because there's a lot of problems in the world, but this particular problem, nobody is addressing. The problem of perversion and the problem of evil. You see, we go to some of the very highly developed, I won't mention any name countries, but there are a lot of highly developed countries in the world where you know, people with a lot of money, what they are looking for to sleep with is not adults. There are children being traded, the money being paid. Amen. It's like they've tried every adult. Now they are looking for little children. This is how perverse. So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Do you know the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the stock market, and they say it is shooting up I don't even know where it is today. It's like, when you hear, this is the upbeat news that people would like to rejoice about, that there's euphoria and there is something called consumer confidence. When housing market is going up, stock market is going up, consumer confidence goes up. Because people feel that they're working, there's more money in their radical wallet, and they keep spending. The whole world is a ghost. Amen. Amen. What is really going on is that perverse people who think they have power and money and they can have whatever they want, this is the type of things people are doing. They may be in suit, they may be in tie, they may be working in big circles where no one can even imagine such a thing is going on. But at night, that is what they are doing. And I know of ministries who are paying money to buy back some of those people who are sex slaves in some of these countries. Are you listening to me? The church is the light of the world. And if we do not light our shine, evil continues. Amen. And so when we are talking about the mega church, we have a major role to play in the world. We have a very important role to play in the world. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. Now, have I described the problem well enough for you? Okay. So, Exodus 19. And let's see. Probably we'll start from verse 1. Yeah. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai and come in the wilderness. So Israel came there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, so Moses, they've come to the mountain, and God called for Moses to come up for a message. Hallelujah. A message. Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. So this is the message God is calling Moses to, you see, in this time in history, keep in mind, Exodus, Deuteronomy is around the same time. It's just that the order of the books was that. Hallelujah. So read Exodus 19 in the context of Deuteronomy 32. What was happening in Deuteronomy 32? What have they done to themselves? They have corrupted themselves in the world. That's the description of the whole world. Hallelujah. And now God is calling a people. Keep in mind that the people of Israel came from Egypt, where they have so many millions of gods. They have all kinds of practices. Many kingdoms had risen and fallen. You had Mesopotamia, you have Assyria, you had all those kingdoms. And God has been watching it through the ages. Hallelujah. And now a time has come in history that God is calling a people to himself for a specific announcement. Hallelujah. Assignment. Tell the children of Israel, tell them what? Verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Amen. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So you see, like I said, at every point in time, there are two groups of people on the earth. You have to decide which group you fall in. You are either part of the problem or you are part of the solution. Hallelujah. I heard of a certain manager who said, if you come to him and you try and tell him of a problem, he will send you away from his office. He said, well, how can we make the place a better place if we can't talk about problems? He said, yes, you can talk about problems. But you, every problem you present, you must mention, I think, 7 potential solutions and then 3 recommendations out of the 7, which you are recommending. And then he will assess it and choose one. So don't just go about looking for problems. You must have a mind that I am trying to solve this problem. Hallelujah. One day I was in a certain meeting. Somebody mentioned something that was not being done. Something that was not being done right or whatever. And then the head of the meeting said, why don't you start a committee and start addressing this problem? Hallelujah. It's not that we are trying to avoid the problem, but the thing is that we want you to have a solutions mindset. Hallelujah. Amen. That there are a lot of people in the world who just decry how bad things are. But they will not lift a finger or do a thing about it. Yeah. In Lighthouse, we are being trained to be leaders. Amen. Bishop has a book called The Art of Leadership. He said, even if you don't have any group you are leading, start by leading yourself. Okay. If you can lead yourself, well, you can lead others. Hallelujah. Amen. God is preparing a new breed of human beings who are not just spectators. The spectators are always what? the larger group. But you see, in order for you to be different, you have to be more than the average. One day, somebody was speaking to an American, and the American happened to know a lot about Africa, Kenya, you know, Ghana, many, many parts of the world. And then Middle East and Asia, you know. You know how most Americans, they only know, some of them even don't know the capital of the next state. Is that true? Have you met some of those before? Yeah. Some don't even know Canada is another country. Some think it's a province beyond Minnesota. Amen. So this person who was speaking to this American who seemed to know a lot about the world, he said, I think you are very knowledgeable. You know a lot more than the average American. Then he got angry. He said, I'm not an average American. Amen. Because the word average is a very bad word. Amen. In school, people who are average, it's like somebody got 98%, somebody got 2%. What is the average of that? 50%. Is that not so? Because 92 plus 2 is 100, but 2 is 50. So if you go by averages, you are not going to make any mark on history. The average are the masses. But in this church, we are being pulled together. God is giving a message. He's giving a message to the people of Israel that, look, the rest of the people have corrupted themselves. There is something going on that I don't like. But you see, he said, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, if you listen to the message on Vision 10,000, because we have to place it in the context. Have you met Moses? So the voice that of God we are to obey is not what Moses was saying, but what we are saying today. Amen. If you indeed obey my voice, and you need to learn, obeying the voice of the messenger of God is equal to obeying the voice of God. Period. That is why John the Baptist was great. How he could see God in a human being. He saw Jesus and said, this is the Messiah. Jesus said, of all the people born of woman, he's the greatest. If you can see God in a human being, like, because many people see God up in the sky, but if you can see that somebody like me speaking to you could be the voice of God to your life, then you are different. Hallelujah. So if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then all the promises of God are conditional. The love of God is unconditional, but the promises of God are conditional. Amen. I mean, if the love of God is unconditional, nobody can be saved. If the love of God was not unconditional, because first there has to be the unconditional love that allows the people who don't deserve to come to God, to be forgiven, even to start a relationship. But once you have started a relationship, God makes a lot of promises. He said, if you do this, then you will what? Shall become a special treasure to me above all people. Let's stay at this verse. You shall become a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Hallelujah. Now, who can tell me the last clause? What is it doing there? Mr. Eunice, you are the English expert here. For all the earth is mine. It's explaining the special treasure. What is it explaining specifically? Anybody? He said that you shall be a special people. A special treasure to me. What does the King James say? You know, we will keep flicking back and forth. A peculiar treasure, a special treasure. Okay? For all the earth is mine. Why did he add for all the earth is mine to that statement? He has the ability. Put your hands together for Sister Eunice. The whole earth is mine. But even though the whole earth is mine, I have the, what do you call it? The ability. The prerogative. I have the right to choose out of all the earth a group of people I can call special. I can confer special graces and abilities and anointings and purposes on them. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The whole earth is mine. Nobody can ask me any questions. Amen. Amen. And if the whole earth is mine, I am saying of all the people in the earth, I want to make you people special. And you shall be what? A peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Is that an invitation you want to join? How many would like to join this invitation? But that invitation, Brother Francis told us, is that if you do what? Obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be. So this peculiar treasure is an open invitation to the people who are hearing it, but only among those who are hearing, those who would enter in are the ones who become the special treasure. Amen. Hallelujah. So as I'm sharing about the mega church, some people, they say, oh, when is he going to finish this series? He's worrying us. When are they going to start talking about our problem? But I'm saying you are putting the cart before the horse. Because if the church is prospering and is doing well, you yourself will be affected positively. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I'm painting the problem, the evil generation that came upon the earth, the perversion of the corruption of the human race, and how God tried with Noah. And after Noah, there was more corruption. And then God now called forth a people. You see that in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and chapter 2 is perfection. Is that not so? The problems had not yet begun. Amen.
Amen.
And then chapter 3, problems began. So from chapter 3 of Genesis, all the way to, I think, chapter 19 of Revelation, is God trying to solve the problems in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so from chapter 4, you see that the generation, the descendants of Adam begin to populate. Chapter 5, these are the generations of Adam. Chapter 6 is the introduction to the flood. Chapter 7 is the flood. Chapter 8, God starts a new beginning. Amen. So what we are saying is that God has described a bad problem. He has described how he's solving it. But you realize that in the earth, God never does anything without involving human beings. So he's giving these people an opportunity. This is what I am doing. The whole earth is mine, but I want to make you special. I want to make you a peculiar treasure unto myself above all people, for all the earth is mine. And then verse 6, he's going to elaborate, explain further, specifically what they are going to do. Verse 6. And ye shall be unto me what? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. He's addressing the people of Israel that the whole world is corrupted. But you people, if you will hear my voice and obey my commandment, you shall be to me as peculiar people. Hallelujah. Don't ever be ashamed that God is calling you a peculiar person. Because God is the God of the whole earth. And he said, if you listen to my voice, I'll make you. Hallelujah. You don't have to apologize for the fact that God has made you glorious. You don't have to apologize. It is God's plan, actually, to make you glorious and beautiful. Hallelujah. Is that not our year of greatness?
Yeah.
He says, you shall be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Then he said, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. It's the same words I'm speaking to you today. If you would hear my voice and obey my covenant, the Lord God is saying, he's going to make you distinct. One day, I was having, at the beginning of the church, we were having a prayer meeting, and not many people were in the church, maybe 3 or 4. And we were trying to have an all night. That day, when we were praying, because I used to be called Brother Gilbert. Amen. That day, when we were, because it seemed like we are all, you know, brothers and sisters praying, right here in Columbus. And when we were praying, then the Lord spoke to me. He said, I am separating you from the rest. Of course, I didn't tell everybody what the Lord spoke to me. But I'm telling you now. Amen.
Amen.
What I'm saying is that, you see, following God is a separation. There is always the larger group of which a subset is given the opportunity to be different. Once you get separated unto God's purpose, it's like a special grace comes upon you. And this grace that came upon me is not just, you see, the word pastor is a functional word. It's not a title. It's not a rank. Do you understand? It's a functional word. What I mean is that it has more to do with what you are doing and how you are responding to God than the name itself. So that if you can join in this invitation about the mega church we've been speaking about, 25 reasons why we must have a mega, if you can throw yourself in, say, look, this work is good work. How many believe that church is important work?
Yeah.
How many? Some people, they think the church is only good because of their children. That is a good place for the children to grow up in so that they don't fall into bad company in this America that we have come. You yourself, it's good for you too. Amen. It's not just, one day we were doing outreach and they met a guy here near Cow Road. He said he himself, he doesn't want to come back. He has some daughters that he wants them to come to the church. For them to grow up in a nice atmosphere. Amen. But I'm speaking to you that you yourself, you have to come to the point of knowing why the church is there. And you must know that without the grace of God and the word of the light of God, you are a very beastly person. And nobody has had the audacity to tell you. But it's already in the Bible, Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just reading it to you. Don't feel that I'm insulting you. We are all the same. Without the grace of God, we are nothing. And now God is saying, that grace that has come upon you, I still see that the world has corrupted themselves. And I want more of you to happen. I want more people who have seen my grace. I want them to embrace the light of God. I want them to know that the whole world is lying to them. That it's like you just eat and drink and drive to work and live a certain number of years and you die and they bury you. That's not all that there is. There is life after death. Hallelujah. Amen. And after the life after death, there is an accounting of how you spent your life here. And the sad aspect is that the solution to the problem is already prepared, but people don't know about it. And that is why God is saying, if you will hear my voice, you shall become a kingdom of priests. What is the work of a priest? The work of a priest. Let's now look for 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Because as I'm reading this scripture, somebody is saying, I look myself in the mirror. I am not an Israelite. So Moses was not speaking to me. This work of uniqueness of who you are doesn't apply to you. I want to show you that this same scripture was paraphrased or quoted by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Okay, let's start from verse 5. You as lively stones or living stones, you are being built up a spiritual house. The spiritual house of God. Because in the Old Testament, Haggai said they should build the house of God. Is that not so? Now, what we are building is a spiritual house. In the Haggai scripture, it said, go and get what? Timber. Go and bring wood from the mountains. Here, if we are building a spiritual house and you, the human beings, are what? The living stones. Okay? The living stones that are going to be used to build a spiritual house is the people in the church. These are the stones. Hallelujah. And so if you are the stones, if this place, a stone is supposed to be, let's look at your Irene. Is that your bag? It's matching very nicely with how many agree with me? Very, very powerful. Yes. Very powerful. Now this bag, how many have gone to a meeting where there are so many chairs you have a place to put your bag? Yeah, is that a nice place? What we are praying and believing God for is that the place is so full that Irene has to put her bag under her chair. Amen. Oh, nothing wrong at all with what you are doing. Nothing wrong at all. What will we the church for if there's no one sitting on it? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? But suppose you can imagine the church as a building being built. And the parts of the church, the bricks, in modern day we use bricks, is that not so? So you could say you are living bricks. So the human being is the brick. So what we are looking at, Irene and Sister Bridget, what we are looking at is that there's a brick here, there's a brick here, and there's supposed to be a brick in the middle to connect the two, but that brick place is empty. Such a building, if you are going to rent a house, and you see empty holes, like a lot of holes in there. A place that's supposed to be a brick is a hole there. Are you going to live there? Yeah. This is how the church of God looks like with empty chairs. If the human beings, can you look at that scripture? You also are a living stone. You are being built into a spiritual house. The church is a spiritual house. So everywhere there's an empty chair, it's a hole in the wall. Amen. There's another scripture in Ephesians which I cannot find now. It said that you are being built a spiritual house through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, God is saying you are living some built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. So can you see a link between this one and the Exodus scripture? What Moses told the people in Exodus, that you are what? A priesthood kingdom, a kingdom of priests. Peter is telling the New Testament believers, in other words, what the people of Israel, I don't know whether I should say they failed to do it. I was debating it in my head. Because God called them to be a holy priesthood. But you see the history, they kept falling and God sending prophets to them. But at least they did one good thing. What is the one good thing? They did many good things. But the biggest thing the people of Israel did for us, maybe two good things. One is obvious, the scriptures. Is that not so? Most of the Bible was written by Jews. Do you know that? But the biggest one is that they produced the Messiah. Hallelujah. So that through the Messiah, the Gentile nations, which have been disinherited in Deuteronomy 32, when they have corrupted themselves, and God said, I'm starting with this new nation in Exodus 19 to make you a peculiar people unto myself. Now, they produce Jesus. And out of Jesus, Peter can now write to everybody, not just Jews, everybody, that all of us are getting the same invitation that the people of Israel got in Exodus 19, that God wants to make you, Brother Derek, a special treasure to him. I mean, God is 7 billion people in the world, and God is in heaven, and he's looking at people to have particular relationships with. Because you have embraced an assignment on your life, that look, you are not just one of the 7 billion. He said, the whole earth is mine, but I want to confer special titles to you. Hallelujah. You are what? A spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, a light precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So Jesus himself was a stone. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 9, the verse I'm looking for. But you, so you see, always see the contrast. He describes the people in the world who have rejected Christ, but he said, you have accepted Christ. As a result of accepting Christ, you are what? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The word royal priesthood is the same description in Exodus 19. Exodus 19 used that language, a kingdom of priests. Royal has to do with kingdom. Is that not so? So you see, a kingdom or royal has to do with managing affairs on earth. Because a king has subjects. Do you understand? A king, not the definition that the brother said, I don't talk to my wife because a king doesn't talk to his subjects. That's not definition. The normal thing is the king has people that, or sometimes not people, but an area that you influence. So that's earth has to do, the kingdom has to do with earth matters. But the priesthood has to do with heavenly matters. You have a dual assignment. Do you understand? You have a dual assignment of communion with God. That's your priesthood function. And then dealing with people on earthly matters. That's your physical function on earth. That's your invitation. Do you see the word peculiar here? Yeah. You are a peculiar people that you should show for the presence of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Amen. So that same God-giving promise to the people of Israel that I want to make you my own special treasure. That invitation to open to us. Which is why we are building the church. Hallelujah. What will happen to us when we build a church? When we have a mega church, not just any church, we want to have a mega church. Amen. And one of the things which are a benefit of having a mega church is that when the church gets to a certain size, you'll be able to enter into multiple dimensions of ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. When the church is too small, you cannot ask. For instance, even if it comes to things to do with money. When you have very few people, it's the same people you're going to go for, ask. For instance, I'm standing here, a friend of mine, I think I told you, you and Brother Johnny, I told you, a friend of mine who is a missionary, he's building a mission house. He requested of me last year, February or so, if I could help him, if I could ask people like yourself to help him with roofing the mission house. Amen. Well, I was about to ask some of you if you could help. And then the camp meeting event came on last year. Amen. Are you there?
Yes.
So I did the math. It's okay. I am better off talking about how people should spend their money going to the camp. Amen. I didn't want to add that because I'm also a human being. I'm here in America. I didn't want to burden people. So I said, let's finish. Let's come back from the camp. After the camp, other one event after another, the whole 2016 went to pass. And I was never able to. Another friend of mine, a missionary in Uganda, she requested of me that, they've started some churches there and they need chairs. I think $8 can buy, I don't know how many chairs. I couldn't ask you, Madam Sally, I couldn't ask. Because after the, camp meeting and other things came up, then there's also Agababtofes, which people are supposed to pay $40. And people are wondering about, if people are wondering about $40 to go and eat and have fun, how can I bring up my other request? Are you listening to me? But wouldn't it be great, Sister Elizabeth, if the church were like 500? Do you understand? If it's 500, it's easy to ask for, because there will be more money going around. Are you getting the point? So you see, Bishop says that when you have a mega church, you can have special ministries which take care of special needs. It will develop within the mega church. The bigger the church, the more you are able to take care of special needs that arise. You see, when we went to the committee, Bishop talked about something most of us didn't know about. How the Lighthouse Chapel, because God has blessed it to a certain level, Lighthouse Chapel in Ghana has taken upon itself to take care of the blind people in Ghana. Yes. The blind people, they don't have, people attending blind school, they don't have textbooks. They don't have a lot of things going for them. And Lighthouse Chapel has now said every blind person will get a textbook to read. And where is the money coming from? Do you think it's only Kodesh? It's a very big church and a very blessed church. But is it only coming from Kodesh? Your money is in it. Auntie Jane, your money is in it. A mega church will become one big church at one place, but it will also have branches. So that all the money coming from everywhere can contribute to a special ministry. But if you are a 7-member church, or you are a 12-member church, 23-member church, today you are saying we are collecting this. The next day you are collecting that. And here in this American where the dollar is like ruling as king in people's hearts. You got to watch it. You have to go watch it, Pastor. You have to watch it. So when the church becomes big, you can create special ministries. Hallelujah. Amen. The prisons. Bishop said they went to the prison. They saw that the conditions at the prison are very terrible. Very, very terrible. He said, are these human beings? Bishop said, we will renovate all the bathrooms in all the prisons. Hallelujah. To the extent that he's even taking it to what country? Is it Liberia? Yes, Liberia. He said they want to do a crusade there. And then they went to the prison. They said that this is the most deplorable condition that any human being born as a son or daughter of Adam should live under. He said, look, we have to do something about this. So he organized and had Dr. Nabia and others. They go and that the people were very surprised. First of all, you are not from here. But you see, this is what I'm talking about, that there's a lot of money in the world. Are you there? There's a lot of money in the world, but it is floating in the wrong hands. The money is moving around in the wrong hands. When we build the church of God, when we build, another reason which we are slapping in as we are closing, you must have a mega church because a mega church has a larger and greater income that can be used for the work of God. There's a lot of money. Anybody who said there's no money, there's a lot of money. Only that is not with you. Amen. Look, last week I saw something on a news headline on the internet. A certain person whose name will not be mentioned. He is threatening not to donate to a certain party. Is it Conservative Party or... I've forgotten the amount. I think over $300 million he gave to the party last year. But a certain agenda that is being discussed, he said that he's threatening not to contribute if they don't go a certain way. I said, hey, somebody had $300 United States dollars, not Zimbabwean dollars, United States dollars, to contribute to a political party. I said, hey, that's a lot of money in the system. But that is where his passion also is. Do you understand? But if you and I will put our hand together and do the work of God, God will channel some of the money to us. Amen. And then, because you have a good heart, I know you have a good heart. I mean, many of you you want to help the poor. When we are doing fundraising, you wish you could do more.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But when the church becomes big, you can do some of those projects.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Liberia place, Bishop, I don't know whether it's already done. Did he say it was done? They renovated the bathroom of that condemned cell. Another thing Bishop said, that all beggars in Accra, they are on Lighthouse payroll. All beggars. Is it monthly or every? I think every month. Every month, they run around Accra, and every poor person, everyone that is begging, we collect them and bring them to the church and have a service with them. Give them food and then give them money for the next month. Yes. It is, these humanitarian acts are part of the gospel. But you see, the worldly system, people don't care about the poor. If they are doing something for the poor, it's because they want their vote or they want something. Some vote politician, they will not show up at a place until it's a week to elections. Then they will show up. But you see, your heart has been softened because of the gospel. And because the church has the right, our heart at the right place, God is going to commit more money to us. But we need to build the church and make it large. Hallelujah. Let's look at that one last scripture and then we will close. Having a large church, we are looking at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 7. This is something I wrote in my notes. Having a large church redirects the resources in the world into the hands of the godly for good purposes. Hallelujah. Because when you have a mega church, it means more people have been what? Zogrioed, captured from the kingdom of darkness. And more people will now influence money that can be used for good. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. If you give, if you're in this church, you are giving to the poor. Yes, you are giving to the, you are in a mega church as in worldwide. You are giving to the poor. And he said, if you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord. How many here want God to owe you? Yes, because when you are lending to the Lord, it means God owes you. I mean, if God owes you, you know his credit is good, and he will give you over and above what you gave to him. Put your hands together unto the Lord. Let's rise to our feet. Let's commit ourselves unto the Lord. If you are here, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to give you an opportunity. Your first step in becoming a unique treasure, a special treasure of the Lord, is to have your sins forgiven. To start afresh from a clean slate with the Lord. If you haven't taken this journey to come to the cross of Jesus, or maybe you have, but you have slipped away from communion with God, God is inviting you back. God never intended to destroy us. He said he never gave his son into the world to destroy the world, to condemn the world, but that we might be saved through him. So if you are a person who wants to reconcile to God, lift up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Pray after me. Thank you, my God, for your love for us, for the special privilege and the invitation to come to the foot of the cross to receive Jesus to become your own. I receive Jesus. I ask for forgiveness. By the blood of Jesus, I believe he was raised from the dead to make me righteous. Now give me your grace to be a witness, to obey your voice, so I will be one of your treasured ones to change the face of the earth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord.